Anybody have any prayer or praise things this morning? Yes, Steph. Yes, that's a long trip. Yes, Wanda.
I'm leaving on a beach trip on Saturday, and I'm going back to the fall on Saturday. So pray for me that I get along with my mom and my sisters, because I'll be with them the whole week.
I understand that. Or be stinky.
I went to the bathroom, washed my hands, and we had new water. So that was interesting, too. I was like, oh, out of electric, now we're out of water.
Things we take for granted.
Yeah. I guess with the power being on, and the washer was gone, and the dryer was gone, but the washer was gone. We never had the washer running when the power went out, so I guess something happened with it.
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
But it was like great.
The pressure switch.
Pressure switch, yeah.
As soon as everything came back, we were like, praise God that we have it. But you don't realize how you take for granted.
Exactly.
The electric and the water.
Exactly.
That was just.
Yep. Bev?
I want to have a praise for last Sunday's baptismal service. It was so awesome. It was just so awesome. I don't have any words for it. It was.
Very good.
God was there.
Very good. Good. Great. Yes.
We were a day and a half without TV and we survived. It was awesome. We didn't have
that. Hallelujah.
Everything went, you know.
But you don't have any young ones. We too had ours go out for a little while too, but I wasn't home most of it, so it doesn't matter. I was in the truck, so. I want y'all to consider a family in prayer. Their last name is Orr. Anthony Orr was the fellow's name. Worked with me, driver. He was killed last weekend, I guess, at the end of the weekend. Was shot here in York. I don't know if you heard about it or not. Anyway, just seemed senseless. He seemed like a nice guy. I didn't really know the fellow real well. I talked to him a bunch of times in the office there, a couple minutes, but that was all. I didn't know him that well, but some kind of dispute with somebody. Anyway, it's tragedy, and he has a family, so pray for them, keep them in your prayers. As they try to figure out what to do next, I guess, kind of thing. Also, pray for, it's good, our farmers have now been able to make hay and all that, but it's terribly, terribly hot. And terribly, terribly rough on the body out there in this kind of heat and humidity. I know my dad was a real strong man, a real strong-willed man. He wasn't a big man, but even in my 20s, I had a hard time keeping up with him. He was just a go all the time. And the only time I ever saw him falter was we were putting hay on wagon. My mother was on the tractor, I was on the wagon. Now, we used to put our hay up loose back then, so Dad was throwing it on the wagon with the pitchfork, and I was on the wagon walking it down so it stays on. There's an art to that, you know. You got to know how to do that to keep it on the wagon or it falls off. And Dad got to the point he just couldn't go anymore. He had to sit under the wagon and lay down for a little bit. He was, you know, dehydrated and exhausted to the point, and it was like, this is now, you know. When we think back, this is the exact kind of weather that was happening when the battle went on at Gettysburg, and all those soldiers at that time were in wool uniforms and running across the fields and doing all the things that they did. I can't imagine surviving that without even being shot. It's just phenomenal the kind of determination and the people that they were at that time. That I can't fathom that. You know, I mean, when you think about what we rush out from our air conditioned car into the air conditioned building, so we don't have to deal with it. But it's tough out there. So our farmers, keep them in prayer as they try to catch up on some of the work that they didn't get done because it rained so much. And so keep them in prayer. All right. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the prayer requests and praises that we had. We ask for traveling mercies and a good time for Deb's daughter. And we just ask you to watch over Wanda. She goes on a trip. We thank you for the baptismal service that we had last week. Just fantastic times. We ask you to watch over the Orr family as they go through this time and try to make sense of what happened there. We ask you to be with all the people that are in the church here doing other things, doing other Sunday school lessons and whatever out and around. We thank you for that. We ask you to watch over the ones that are out today having to work outside. Tremendous amount of pressure on our bodies at this point in the heat and humidity that we have. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Like I was saying, I thought I was going to be a little late this morning. My wife was at a baby shower yesterday late, and I went to the races last night, got home late, and we got up, and we were both just laying there like, do we really want to get up, you know, and we just, finally I said, I got to get going, and she said, well, I'm just going to come later, because she wasn't ready to get going, so, the pastor was a little bit late getting out, so we don't have a whole lot of time, and so, but that's okay, we'll do with what we have. I heard some things this week and got me thinking about, we often hear about one sin that we're not supposed to do is to grieve the Holy Spirit. We're not to grieve the Holy Spirit. And you often think about that. How do you think we do that exactly? And this person brought out some things and I got to thinking about some things so I jotted down and said, what would you all say if I said to every one of you that when you go to leave today, there's going to be a brand new car parked down the parking lot for you, all the expenses are paid, it's full of gas, keys are in it, title's in your name, taxes are paid, go enjoy. I paid for it, okay, because I suddenly become a bazillionaire. I don't know how I did that, but that's what I did. What would you say? You'd be great. It'd be great, right? You'd all cheer. Yeah, there you go. That's it. Exactly. Exactly. You know, how many of you would let it sit in the parking lot and go home without it?
Maybe if it's a Chevy.
Nope, these would be cars that you would want. I mean, they'd be whatever you want. I would, you know, because I'm a bazillionaire, I can also read your mind. How's that? Wouldn't that, though, if you did go out in the parking lot and you saw the car and it was something that you really wanted, you've always wanted one of these, whatever it is, doesn't matter, and you walked over to it and you looked at it and you said, yeah, okay, and you got back in your vehicle and you went on home and left it sit there. What do you think that would do to me?
You'd be offended.
I'd be offended. I'd be grieved. In some countries and some cultures, it's actually punishable if you don't take a gift. You know, if somebody presents you with a gift and you don't take that gift, they get angry. They get upset to the point of doing something to you. It's against the law, their laws, to not take a gift, whatever the gift is. You may not want the gift, you know. It might be, you know, half a dozen elephants or something, and you don't know what to do with them, but it doesn't matter. It's a gift. If you were to leave the parking lot and leave that car, your car then, it's not my car, it's your car. You would leave it sit there, or you would take it home and let it sit in the driveway all the time and say, no, I don't really want it, or I'm not going to use it. I'm not going to do anything with it. What do you think happens when the Holy Spirit gives us gifts and we don't do anything with them? Wouldn't that make you angry? Wouldn't that make you upset? Wouldn't it make you grieved that he gives everyone some gifts? Some people a lot of gifts, and I probably all of you at one time or another have taken one of these surveys and filled out, and it says, you know, you have the gift of such and such, and you have the gift of this, and you have the gift, or whatever. But do we do anything with them? Do we let them sit in the driveway? Do we let them sit in the garage? Do we let them sit on the desk or whatever that is that we put the paper that we know what the gift is? Even if you don't know what the gift is, okay, I could sit back there and with you all and say, my gift's not teaching. I don't know if my gift's teaching exactly. I just know that they asked me to do this job up here. And I said, okay. I don't mind getting up. I don't mind talking. Sometimes I don't make any sense, but that's okay. But if the Holy Spirit were to say to me today, you know, your gift is going to be something else, you know, another thing. You're not going to be a teacher. You're not going to, okay, I'm ready to do that, whatever that is. And some of the gifts are so easy to do, really. Here in Galatians 5:22, it says, and the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think the hardest one there is self-control. Do we exercise self-control, even, in what we do? Do we get angry with everybody out on the highway? I know this week I was, and I reference New Jersey because I'm over there a lot, okay? I drive to New Jersey almost every day and go up and down the turnpike or somewhere and pick up things and all that. But two things happened on the turnpike this week. Where one was I came down through, I see black smoke up in the distance there, and I'm thinking, that looks like it's on the road, you know, somehow. And I'm keeping on going, and traffic's slowing down. We're almost to a stop, and everybody's getting over to the right, and I'm easing my truck over on the berm because I see what it is. There's a car. It's at the media strip. It's just kind of sitting there. And it's just in flames. I mean, flames are 8-10 feet out of the top of the car. It's just burning up. Doesn't look like he really hit anything. I don't know what happened. You can't really stop and find out all these things. But it's just blazing. Now, there was a police car sitting behind it with lights on. So I assume everybody was out. There was a couple people sitting in the car, so I assume they got out of the car and policemen came along and picked them up or whatever. That's okay. Didn't look like anything tragic, and I don't think they really had an accident. At least it didn't look like it. I mean, you couldn't see the front of the car anymore because of all the flames, but it was just burning to the ground. So that was one instance that happened at one day. We see those kinds of things out on the highway. We can't do anything about them. You have to pray for the people that they get out of the car. You pray for what happened to them, whatever. And then the second thing, I had passed a vehicle, different day, passed a vehicle. Our trucks were governed to 63 miles an hour. The New Jersey Turnpike's some places it's 70, some places 65, so I can't even run quite the speed limit. So it's very odd that I'm even actually in the passing lane because I'm usually in the right lane. I passed the vehicle. They kind of hung back there at the back of the truck. A lot of people do that. I don't know if they speed up or they think they don't want to be passed the whole way. I don't know what their idea is, but you put the turn signal on, you wait. They just don't back off or stay the same. They're just there. You know what I mean. Anyway, I guess he backed off and I didn't realize it. And the guy behind me, he must have really wanted to get around me and he thought I was holding him up. So he zipped around on the right side and passed me. And as he goes by, he, you know, salutes me with the number one. So two different things happen on the turnpike. One you're praying for and the other one can make you angry. I actually prayed for the guy. I really did because I know he just doesn't have enough patience in his life or something. He didn't leave early enough. I don't know what happens. But anyway, those things happen. Self-control. Such a hard thing sometimes. This person that was shot, apparently he had been playing basketball with some friends, pickup game. A fight broke out between two young ladies that were at the game. He apparently went to help separate them. To get them apart. The game ended, of course, at that time. I guess everybody was kind of angry about something. I don't know exactly what all was said or done. I don't know the whole facts, but this is what report we get. He then went home. He got up 10:30, 11 o'clock, whatever it was, to go to work, came out to his car, and the person who was at the game, apparently the boyfriend of one of the girls, came up to him and shot him. Not very much self-control. You know, he had self-control in trying to break up the fight. The person that shot him obviously didn't have, he had several hours to think about this and still did this. Not self-control. Obviously, I don't think anybody in here is going to have that problem. But we do have problems with self-control because things make us upset and angry on a daily basis sometimes. Sometimes with our spouse, sometimes with our kids, our grandkids. We have sons-in-law and daughter-in-law and things like that, and we think sometimes they're not doing the right thing with our grandkids. You know, although they're their kids, it's still our grandkids. And we think we need to get in there and do something about it. And we need to exercise self-control. You know, we were in that situation too and didn't want somebody butting into our lives and doing things, you know. And we're doing things, they're doing things the way they see fit to do them. They're not always wrong. It's just that we think they are. And so we need to exercise that self-control. The ones that are a little easier sometimes are the kindness and goodness and faithfulness. I don't know about the faithfulness. Maybe that's not as good, easy as I think. But the kindness and goodness, we all think we're going to be kind to people and good to people and all that. And it's fairly easy most of the time, you know. And I have a neighbor that she's a single person. She's had several husbands and had a lot of problems in her life. She has a couple kids that didn't turn out very well, and she came over Friday afternoon. I was outside working on something, and she came over and asked me if I could get her lawnmower started. Couldn't get her lawnmower started, so I went over and I couldn't get it started at her house, so I brought it over to my place and took it apart, and it had a broken flywheel, actually, is what happened, so it couldn't, that's not going to be fixed for a while until I get a piece. So I said, okay, she really wants to mow her grass. So I got in my shed. I have an old lawnmower that I had given to my daughter years ago, and she brought it back when she moved. And so I got that out and filled it up with gas and checked the oil, and a couple pulls fired up, and I took that over to her. I said, here, use this while, you know, until we get something else going here, you know. It's easy sometimes because even though she's done some things to our family that we didn't appreciate, but to show kindness because she's still a child of God, she needs to get here with us or somewhere. She needs to have her life turned around by Jesus. He's the only one that can do that. Me showing some kindness may do that someday. I don't know. You know, I've done other things for her and it hasn't worked out, but we're planting seeds. We're doing that kindness. We're doing that thing that we need to do sometimes. Then there's other times you get angry and you don't do those things. You don't do the go the extra mile. We hear about going the extra mile. It's been an old saying, going the extra mile for someone or whatever. I don't know if you realize where that came from. Back in Jesus' time, Roman soldiers, when they were walking along with their pack on their back or their implement of destruction, whatever it was, a sword or anything, if they saw a peasant there along the field or along the road, they could legally ask that person to carry their pack for a mile. And that person had to do it, no matter what. They had to do it. That was the law. And so what Jesus was saying when he said to go, when somebody asked you to do something, carry their load for a mile, he said go two. Now, the person wasn't required to go more than 1 mile. But Jesus was saying go two. Go the extra mile. That's where that phrase came from. That's where we get that. Jesus' words ring in our society all the time. Go that extra mile. Sometimes we get to the point where we want to quit. We want to say we've done enough. We don't want to do this anymore. We don't want to help this person. You know, I've had some people in my life that have taken much advantage of what I do and help. And over the years, I've helped them do this and do that and do this, and they still come back and they still haven't turned their lives around. And you want to just say, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm tired of you. You don't even come to see me until you need me for something, until you need my truck or my trailer or my back or something to do something. That's where we need the self-control. We need the patience. We need the kindness. We need the goodness and the faithfulness. Because it's easy to stop doing. It's easy to say, you don't deserve this anymore. It's easy to say, the next time that guy gets beside me with that first, that vehicle that gave me the number one sign, I'm going to cut him off. You know, that it's easy to say that. It really is. Because that's what our humanness wants to do. That's what I want to do for me. When that I in sin comes out and puts it right here, that's what I want to do. You know? We need to be that person that's saying, I'll go the extra mile. I'll go that 2 miles, even though it's not required. Now, back to some of the things that I could say when they asked me, I could say, you know, I don't have time. I don't want to do this. I don't want to feel like staying up here. Whatever. I'll tell you what, this is a challenge to come up here, but it's also so much of a blessing. I learned so much coming up here and getting ready for these Sunday mornings. And any one of you would learn too. And sometimes you need to get out of your comfort zone and try something like this. Try something like getting up here, you know, if you have singing talent, you know, or something like that. You can play an instrument. You can do something. Do some of those things. Step out. The Lord will give you some. I'm telling you, I don't have a lot of things when I usually come up here that's planned for this. I get the scripture and I get an idea, and the Lord just speaks. You notice I don't really read much up here on my notes because there's not many notes here for one thing, and I the Lord just speaks. He does that. He would do that for you too, and it's so cool to later think, wow, that worked out really well. I mean, that came out the way I wanted, or he wanted it, really. But you have to be willing to get up here. This isn't, you know, I mean, they just said to me, do you want to do this for a while? So I don't know how long I'm going to be here. Each Sunday, I think, maybe it's going to be the last one. And that's okay. I don't mind. Either way, I don't mind being this stand-in person. I don't mind any of that. I might be here for a long time. You'll have to put up with me or stay home. I don't know which way we're going to do it. So anyway, if any of you feel like you want to come up and teach, please let me know or let somebody else know. And that, you know, that's not a problem. I don't have to be up here. I gladly sit back there for a Sunday or whatever. See if you like it. See if you try it. Try it. Step out in that faith. Really. It's neat. It really is. I remember when my wife and I first started to teach in any kind of a situation. We were at a church on the other side of York just teaching a high school kids. And the first week we went in, a couple of them sat in the back and they turned their backs to us. One of them laid down on the floor and all that. My wife and I stood there and we looked at each other a little bit. I said, okay, all right, I get this. You just don't like us up here. I understand that. You don't want to be here. All I ask is you don't interrupt the class. If you want to sleep, sleep. If you snore, we're going to kick you. That's all. And other than that, I don't really care. Sleep if you want. Just don't interrupt the rest of the class. There are a few kids that really want to learn. They're up here, whatever. We left it go like that. It went about 3 months before we had some of them that were laying on the floor actually speak up when I'd say something that they either had the answer to or they were questioning, that they actually spoke up. So they were listening. They were hearing, even though they weren't paying attention. That taught me that you got to be sowing the seeds and you got to keep doing what you're doing. You got to be faithful in what you're doing because God will bring that out. That one young man that was sleeping actually went on in a couple of years. He had getting ready to graduate from high school. They left him get up and do a sermon at the church. He actually did a sermon. It was a couple of years later. So it's not because of me. It's not because of my wife. It's because of the Lord. The Lord's Holy Spirit gets in those people. That's what happens up here with me. The Lord's Holy Spirit gets going. Not me. Not me. I'm not this good at all. I ain't even close. Don't get me wrong. So it is coming up on the 4th of July. I have a thing here I'm going to try to read. I'm not sure I'll get through it. It's pretty emotional. My dad was in the service twice. He served in the end of World War II and then again in Korea. I never did that. It's one of my mistakes in life. I wish I went in the military. I didn't do that. It was at a time when the draft was just ending. I actually had my draft card and was getting ready to go for my physical and things, and they canceled the draft at that point. That's the period of time I was in when they canceled it. But I wish I'd have went. Anyway, this is about a young lady who her husband's away in the military. Like I say, it's a little bit long and it's fairly emotional. I was sitting there reading it last night and I'm hoping I can get through it. Bear with me. says, I was sitting alone in one of those loud, casual steakhouses that you find all over the country. You know the type, a bucket of peanuts in every table, shells littering the floor, a bunch of perky college kids racing around with long-necked beers and sizzling platters. Taking a sip of my iced tea, I studied the crowd over the rim of my glass. My gaze lingered on a group enjoying their meal. They wore no uniforms to identify their branch of service, but they were definitely military, clean-shaven, cropped haircut, and that squared-away look that comes with pride. Smiling sadly, I glanced across my table to the empty seat where my husband usually sat. It had only been a few months since we sat in this very booth talking about his upcoming deployment to the Middle East. That was when he made me promise to get a sitter for the kids and come back to this restaurant once a month and treat myself to a nice steak. In turn, he would treasure the thought of me being here, thinking about him until he returned home to me. I fingered the little flag pin I constantly wear and wondered where he was at this very moment. Was he safe and warm? Was his cold any better? Were my letters getting through to him? As I pondered these thoughts, high-pitched female voices from the next booth broke into my thoughts. This obviously is a few years old, so it's about President Bush. It says, I don't know what Bush is thinking about invading Iraq. You'd think that man would learn from his old man's mistakes. Good Lord, what an idiot. I can't believe he's even in office. You know he stole the election. I cut into my steak and tried to ignore them as they began an endless thing about running down our president. I thought about last night I'd spent with my husband as he prepared to deploy. He had just returned from getting his smallpox, anthrax shots, and the image of him standing in our kitchen packing his gas mask still gives me the chills. Once again, the woman's voices invaded my thoughts. It's all about the oil, you know. Our soldiers will go in and rape and steal all the oil they can in the name of freedom. I wonder how many innocent people they will kill without giving it a thought. It's pure greed, you know. She said, my chest tightened as I stared at my wedding ring. I could still see how handsome my husband looked in his mess dress the day he slipped it on my finger. I wondered, what was he wearing now? Probably his desert uniform, affectionately dubbed coffee stains, with a heavy bulletproof vest over it. You know, we should just leave Iraq alone. I don't think they are hiding any weapons. In fact, I bet it's all a big act just to increase the president's popularity. That's all it is. Padding the military budget at the expense of our Social Security and education. And you know what else? We're just asking for another 9/11. I can't say when it will happen again that we didn't deserve it. Their words brought to mind the war protesters I had watched gather outside our base. Did no one appreciate the sacrifice of brave men and women who leave their homes and families to ensure our freedom? Do they even know what freedom is? I glanced at the table where the young men were sitting and saw their courageous faces change. They had stopped eating and looked at each other, dejected, listening to the women talking. Excuse me. Well, I, for one, think it's just deplorable to invade Iraq, and I'm certainly sick of our tax dollars going to train professional baby killers we call our military. Professional baby killers, I thought, about a wonderful father my husband is and how long it would be before he would see our children again. That's it. Indignation rose up inside of me. Normally reserved, the pride in my husband gave me a brass boldness I never realized I had. Tonight, one voice will answer on the behalf of our military. And let her pride in our troops be known.
Sliding out of my booth, I walked around to the adjoining booth and placed my hands flat on their table, lowering myself to their eye level with them. I smilingly said, "I couldn't help overhearing your conversation. You see, I'm sitting there trying to enjoy my dinner alone, and you do not know why. Because my husband, whom I love with all my heart, is halfway around the world defending your right to say rotten things about him." Yes, you have the right to your opinion, and what you think is none of my business. However, what you say in public is something else, and I will not sit by and listen to you ridicule my country. My president, my husband, and all the other fine American men and women who put their lives on the line just so you can have the freedom to complain. Freedom is an expensive commodity, ladies, and don't let your actions cheapen it. She says, "I must have been louder than I meant to be because the manager came over to inquire if everything was all right." "Yes, thank you," I replied. Then turning back to the women, I said, "Enjoy the rest of your meal." As I returned to my booth, applause broke out. So she was pretty embarrassed for making a scene, and she went back to her half-eaten steak. The women picked up their check and scurried away. After finishing my meal and while waiting for my check, the manager returned with a huge apple cobbler. And compliments to those soldiers over there. So, sorry. He also smiled and said, "The ladies tried to pay for my dinner, but another couple had beaten them to it." And when I asked who, the manager said they had already left, but that the gentleman was a veteran. And he wanted to take care of the wife of one of our boys. So with a lump in my throat, I gratefully turned to the soldiers and thanked them for the cobbler. And grinning from ear to ear, they came over, surrounded my booth, and said, "We just wanted to thank you, ma'am. You know that we cannot have confrontations with civilians, so we appreciate what you did." And as I drove home for the first time since my husband's deployment, I didn't feel quite so alone. My heart was filled with warmth of the other diners who stopped at my table to relate how they, too, were proud of my husband and keep him in his prayer, in their prayers. Perhaps they would look for more tangible ways to show their pride in our country and the military who protect them. And maybe, just maybe, the two women who were rallying against our country would pause for a minute to appreciate all the freedom America offers. The price it pays to maintain that freedom. As for me, I have learned that one voice can make a difference. Maybe the next time protesters gather outside the gates of our base where I live, I will probably stand on the other side of the with a sign of my own that simply says, "Thank you." So, I'm sorry. I think back to my dad and my uncles, my cousins, different ones of my family that have been in the military, and the time they spent away from their families. Some of them were killed in foreign conflicts. And when we have people like these ladies who can do nothing but tear down, it doesn't matter what conflict we're in. Our soldiers aren't the ones who made the conflict. They're just doing their duty. And we need to support our soldiers. Whether we agree with what's going on or not doesn't matter. They're not there because they want to be there. And they're not away from their families because they want to be. And we need to support them and support the families that they left behind for whatever reasons or for whatever distance of time that is. And not be tearing things down for them. If we want to vote against the president, that's fine. I don't. That's your
certainly your opinion and your option. But please don't do it against our soldiers. It's not right. So we're coming up on the 4th of July to celebrate our freedom here in the United States of America. I hope you have a safe time, and I hope you think about the people that are out there that won't be able to celebrate that here with their families this year, and maybe not next, or maybe not ever. And so as we leave, we'll keep that in thought. Yes, sir.
I just wanted to let you know, last Sunday we weren't here.
Mm-hmm.
We gathered up with God Bless America. We rode all the way over there to spend the whole day with the veterans.
Mm-hmm.
When we get over there, there are certain ones that look for us every year. They actually come around the building, and they can't enjoy enough seeing all these motorcycles with every flag you can imagine.
Right.
Coming in to greet them and thank them.
Right. Right.
We go over, we give them hugs, we spend the day with them, let them talk. We gave them a check for $7,011 that day. The government won't even buy them shaving cream or toothpaste or whatever.
Yep.
But with us going over there and giving them that thank you and that hug,
right,
and just spending time, each and every one of them will sit and tell you, you don't know how much this means to me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And we tell them, you know, this is one of our favorite rides. We look forward to this every year to come see you.
Mm-hmm.
The one gentleman over there has been there for 30 years.
Wow.
And he said he looks forward. He's starting to know us on first name basis.
Sure.
And they just appreciate that. We tell them, well, we just wish more Americans would feel that way.
Absolutely.
And be thankful.
Got new knees over there.
Oh, okay.
He was there.
Yep. He was there the week before to get brand new knees.
Ah, good. Yeah, my dad spent time in the military hospital here in Lebanon. I thought they treated him really well and all that, but just to walk down the halls there and see the other people that were there in the different array of being either injured or sick. And nobody coming to see him. It's just really, really bad. So,
that's the thing that they said hurts the most.
Yes, I can't imagine. It's like that song. I can only imagine. I can't even fathom how that must feel. Okay, dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the attentive group this morning. We ask you to watch over each and every family as they go through the rest of this service. Be with our pastor as he comes and gives a message, be with us as we take your Holy Communion, and let us think about our veterans and the people that are serving today out there in the world, really. It's over the whole world where we are. And we thank you for you. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We ask you to watch over us as we go through the rest of this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.